Going next to Kinu Yud Aleph, we're skipping one. Kinu Yud Aleph tells a story about Kinu Yirmiyahu al Yeshayahu. It's Yirmiyahu's lament for Yeshayahu. Yirmiyahu was the Navi, Yeshayahu was a Melech Yisrael. Not just any Melech Yisrael, if you take a look in this stanza, in the first stanza, Is Aleph, the whole thing is alphabetical. Eicha Eli Kainu Me'elav Ben Shmoyne Shana Heicha Lidur Shmoyle Kav. At the age of 8, he started to worship Hashem on his own. Take a look in Eis Gimel, the third stanza. Gam B'chol Malchi Yisrael Asher Kamu L'Gdar Le'kam Kamayim Yimais HaVigdar. HaVigdar is Moshe Rabbeinu. Le'kam Kamayim Yimais HaVigdar means that from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Yeshayahu, there was, at least in a certain dimension, there was no king as great as Yeshayahu, and that's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says so in Malachim. So this is somebody who was one of the great figures of the time of the Malachim, and yet he was also a very tragic figure. The Gemara in Tanis tells the story about how he met his end, and he was killed. The pasukim say that he was killed in a war against Pari Malach Mitzrayim, Pari Nechei, King of Mitzrayim. But the Gemara in Tanis provides the background that Paroi, king of Mitzrayim in the times of Yeshayahu, wanted to fight a war against Ashur, which is over here is described as Aram Naharayim. That's in the area of Syria or Iraq. And to go from Egypt to Iraq, you have to go through Eretz Yisrael. So Paroi sent a message to Yeshayahu requesting permission as an ally to allow my armies to pass through your land. Yeshayahu, remembering the psukim that we actually were just reading about in Kina Yud, in Kina Tes, the psukim in Parshas B'chukaisai, where it says, in B'chukaisai Teleichu, it says, V'nasatim shalim ba'aretz, and then it says, V'chever le'savar ba'artzachem. So the Gemara says that Yeshayahu made a drasha, that when it says, V'chever le'savar ba'artzachem, that a sword shall not pass through your land, if it means a sword that's coming as an aggression against us, well, it already says, V'nasatim shalim ba'aretz, there'll be peace. So what's the additional bracha of V'chever le'savar ba'artzachem? Afilu cherev shal shalim. Even a peaceful sword, meaning the sword of an ally, but it's just he wants to transport his military through Eretz Yisrael. It says in the pasuk that it's not going to happen. So Yeshayahu said no. And Paroi said, oh yeah, you want to fight? And Yeshayahu said, yeah, we want to fight. So Yeshayahu brought his army out to fight against Paroi's army to stop him from bringing his cherev shel shalom through Eretz Yisrael. And the pesukim describe the Gemara then says how he was killed in that battle. And he was the archers of Mitzrayim, put many arrows through Yeshayahu. And as he was dying on the battlefield, the Navi Yirmiyahu went and ran out to him, and he saw that his lips were moving, that he was whispering something. So Yirmiyahu thought, oh no, now he's been so frum the whole time, but now that this happened, he's probably rejecting Hashem. And he leaned in to hear what Yeshayahu was saying, and he heard that Yeshayahu was saying, tzadik Hashem kifiu marisi, that Hashem is a tzadik, I rebelled against him. And then Yeshayahu says over there that Yirmiyahu said on him, the pasuk of Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. Now that pasuk is in the fourth parak of Megillas Eicha. So the fourth parak of Megillas Eicha is considered a hesped that Yirmiyahu said for Melech Yeshayahu. Now if we take a look at this piyut, Yud Aleph, so this one, similar to one of the others that we pointed out, it goes in alphabetical order, but more than that. Aleph is Eicha, Beis is Bnei, Gimel is Gam, Dalet is Davak. These words are the first words of each pasuk in the fourth parak of Megillas Eicha. Because Chazal said that the fourth parak of Megillas Eicha is meant as a eulogy for Yeshayahu. So this kino, which is in the Python's expanded version of that eulogy follows the Seder of Perek Dalet of Megillas Eicha. Just go through some of the stanzas that highlight the story. Ice hey ha'oichlem zera shichar kisma etayv pichmu mishchar. The oichlem zera shichar refers to Mitzrayim, those that eat off of the Nile. They're the ones that blackened his shine, meaning he ended up being done in by the people of Mitzrayim. Take a look. Let's skip to Ois Kaf. Kila hamoinei leches aram naharayim. Yeshiyahu wasted the best of the Yidden to not let Paro go to aram naharayim. Leman leisev savar cherev kol shehu beEfrayim, because he didn't want to let even any sword go through Eretz Yisrael. V'leishama la'choyza la'shuv acharayim, but he didn't listen to the Navi to retreat. This is the last part of the Gemara in Tanis that I didn't speak out yet. That the Gemara says that Yirmiyahu told him that he should let. Yeshiyahu said, why should I let? It says in the Torah, Cherev l'tzav v'arzachem, and I made a drush that doesn't mean the Cherev shall Muhammad, it means the Cherev shall Rishus, Cherev kol shehu. But the Navi told him, no, your drush is good, but just because it says in the Torah that there's such a haftacha, that doesn't mean it's coming true for you. Doesn't mean that in this dar we're zeichet to all the brachas of him, b'chukayzat yelechu, maybe we're zeichet to some of the brachas, v'nasati shalim ba'aretz, but not this additional bracha of v'cherev l'savar ba'aretzachem. You have no haftacha, because you read parashas b'chukayzai, that's going to all happen in your dar. So Yirmiyahu was telling him that he should let Pari go through. Yeshiyahu thought that he knew better. This, the Paiton, the Gemara in Tanis really, is identifying as the fatal flaw in Yeshiyahu with all of his tzidkos. But and then if we take a look in... let's go to Ois Pei. Pnei Kerov Kekara V'lei Olsolei Ritia. The battle, when the sides met on the battlefield, and he had no refuah for his makav. Ayeru Hamayrim LaMelech Yeshia. The archers were shooting into Melech Yeshia. Aydenu Oitzem Eina Begevi Neichatzim, and they were as he his eyes were closed, but they were still piercing him. Chetz Achar Chetz Mayrim LeLeichatzim. One arrow after another, they were shooting into him. Sadu v'samu k'matara lachitzim. They captured him and they made him into a target for their archers. Vayizikhu boy shleishmei ischitzim. They shot 300 arrows into him. Kalim hitu achrav ezayin moitzafihu v'ad mitzui nefesh maisaf hefihu. People wanted to hear what he was saying. The Kalim thought, oh, he's probably criticizing God. Ruach safas of hifzim ipiu tzadiku Hashem kimarisi piu. But Yirmiyahu heard that really with his dying breath he was saying vidui and being mastik as hadin that Kadosh Baruch Hu did right. So that's how the piyut ends his story. There's an interesting detail in the story. If you take a look in Ois Dalid, Davak b'chet leitzoni adar. That although he was a tzaddik, but there are other people in the dar that weren't, and he suffered on their account. Asher kamu achar adelas listar. So there were people that were worshippers of Avodah Zarah, and they're described as setting up their Avodah Zarah behind the door. Kamu achar adelas listar. And it's repeated in Ois Mem, mechatos stiras mezuzos. The sin of the doors being closed, stiras mezuzah, is closing up the doors. So there's these two references to the Avodah Zarah being done with the doors closed. You might think that just means, yeah, you know, it was done behind closed doors. He was out to eradicate Avodah Zarah, so the police were coming to catch people that were worshiping Avodah Zarah, and they had to worship Avodah Zarah behind closed doors. But that's not what the Piyut is referring to. The Medrash says that there was a certain trick that the people in the times of Yeshiyahu did to outsmart the police. He was trying to eradicate Avodah Zarah. The police were coming into people's houses to search for Avodah Zarah. So the image of the Avodah Zarah was placed on the door, but it was a double door. So that the door, when the doors opened, the two halves were separated from each other. So if you opened the door and you came into a house and you looked around, you wouldn't see any Avodah Zarah. When you walk out, when the police walk out, the shomrim of the king walk out, and then the homeowner closes the door behind him, with that he completed the tzura of the Avodah Zarah, and that's the way that they outsmarted Yeshio and his police. That's what the Python is referring to with these references. If somebody tells you the midrashim, so you see more of the depth of what's meant in the piyut. I want to focus on a certain aspect of the story. We mentioned that the tragic flaw of Yeshio, that this piyut is coming to be mekainin for Yeshio, was v'lo shama l'chayze, that he didn't listen to the Navi. He was such a big tzaddik, but he didn't listen to the Navi. So why not? Why did he fail over there where he did so well elsewhere? The not listening to the Navi, really, what that represents is thinking that you have all the answers. That some Yeshio was very great, and one of the challenges that comes with becoming great is that the greater you are, the more you know. And the more that you feel, what it could lead to is that the more that you feel that you know everything. If somebody is truly, truly great, then the more that he knows, the more he recognizes how vast, how much more there is to know. But the challenge is that as a person comes becomes greater and more knowledgeable, he's more at risk of falling into the feeling that he knows everything, that he knows all the answers, that he doesn't need other people's help. And that's why L'Shama L'Chayzi didn't listen to the Navi. And that is such a basic yesoid in Avelos. When the tefillah that we associate with Avelos is the tefillah of Kaddish, Yiskadal Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah. Now, the tefillah has nothing to do with Avelos. It has nothing to do with dying, it has nothing to do with mourning, but that's the tefillah that is associated with Avelos. And the pshat may be because the avoid of an avel is to be megadel Shem Hashem, to recognize, to remind himself and to reinforce for himself how Hashem is so much higher and so much greater, because the challenge of the avel is that he wants answers. He needs to know why. Sometimes an avel is in very acute pain. Sometimes an avel has very strong questions. And the way that he keeps his emunah with very strong questions is by saying, Yiskadal v'yiskadash shmei rabba, recognizing that Hashem is so much greater than we are. Kigavu machshavoisei, we're going to read this afternoon in the Haftarah, Kigavu machshavoisei machshavoiseichem udrachem midarcheichem, that my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and there's no way that you could fathom my thoughts and my ways and my plans. And that's the way for a person to come to terms with Avelos. And that's why the Avel says the tefillah of Kaddish is a story that conveys this very, very strongly. It's a mashal. I mean, there's so many things that you could use. The idea is a simple one. There are many mashal that you can make, but this story is a true story. The Blujava Rebbe was one of the Rebbes that suffered very much during the Holocaust and had a lot of stories that, and other people came out with stories about him. And just one episode from his travails was that when he was he was separated from his wife. The family was separated, but he was there with one small child, very small child. I don't know exactly, 2, 3, 4, I think somewhere in that range. The father, the rabbi, and his son, this child, were on a train going towards the concentration camps. And the rabbi knew what lay ahead. and he knew where they were going and what was in store for them. And somehow, miraculously, an opportunity opened up during the train ride. This wasn't usually possible. Those trains were usually kept pretty secure. I don't know what the what the story was and how it happened, but there was an opening, there was a window, not a window that he could climb out of, but a window that he was able to throw his child out of. And he took the baby and threw him off of the train, off of a moving train at high speed. And you can imagine that it was a damaging, painful fall and serious injuries. But the story continues. There were miracles that happened afterwards about the mother somehow being reunited with him. The Inkan Mekoyme, that's not the... It's an extraordinary story, but I just want to focus on that moment. And I want to focus on it from the perspective of the child, of the three-year-old. I don't really know the age, but let's just imagine. A three-year-old is old enough to have a little bit of a sense of what's going on. Not old enough to understand things like concentration camps, but old enough to understand being held by the father and being thrown away by the father. Old enough to understand that it's scary, that he's in a scary time, that it was the biggest crisis moment of his life, and that his only comfort was that his father was holding on to him. And then his father took him and threw him out the window. And besides for the possibly breaking every bone in his body, what it did to his heart, undoubtedly, how that child, we can all readily imagine how that child must have felt. There's no greater abandonment and betrayal than what that child felt at that moment. And yet, because we are listening to the story not as three-year-olds, but as adults, and we're listening to the story knowing a little bit about the Holocaust and about what happened, we know that there's no greater act of Ahava that anyone could imagine than that act of that father throwing his baby off of that train. Such a tremendous Ahava was expressed in that. But how do you expect a three-year-old to understand it? That's why an Avil says Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shemei Rabba. Because the gulf between the understanding of a three-year-old and the understanding of his father is nothing compared to the gulf between our machshavos and his machshavos, kiviyachol ki gavu machshavosayim machshavoseichem. And that's why the Yesodin Avelis is that we should never ever think that we have all the answers or even some of the answers. We see a tiny little part of the overall story, and that's why Yoshio's story is such a poignant one for Tisha B'Av.